This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
You know, this Tuesday is going to be the 116th anniversary of the day that Orville and Wilbur Wright made their historic flight at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Their flying machine actually stayed airborne, and the whole world was launched into this era of flight. Excitedly, the brothers cabled the news back to their local newspaper, describing how, for the first time in history, a man-made machine actually traveled in the air. In a postscript, they added that they hoped to be back in Ohio by Christmas. Well, the headline in the Dayton paper the next day read, "Prominent local bicycle merchants to be home for Christmas." What? You talk about missing the point. They flew an airplane for the first time ever. Evidently, these home folks in Ohio were too caught up in the holiday excitement to stop and ponder that something tremendously important had just happened. Something so significant that their lives and the lives of generations to come was going to be changed, never to be the same. And yet, they missed it. They missed it. But I wonder, how much different are we than the people in Dayton, Ohio? Hey, there are millions who miss the Christmas miracle every year. They never see the tree because of all the tinsel. The babe in the manger smothered by the glitter of materialism. Too many times people are so preoccupied with lesser events that they miss and are blinded to the big event. So yes, it's possible. In fact, it's even easy in the mad rush of this season to miss the whole point. Just think about how many of the key players in the original Christmas story never had a clue as to what God was up to. Like King Herod. King Herod, he never got in on the Christmas miracle because he was too threatened. He was too insecure. Yet we can give the pagan king some credit. He did realize the potential power of this baby. But what about us? Herod knew instinctively that Jesus challenges any person or any system that will oppose his lordship. Hey, are we threatened by Jesus' rule in our lives? And the priests, how about the priests? They missed the Christmas miracle because they were too religious. Did you know you can be too religious? Intoxicated by a dead religion, they walked right past the very source of abundant and eternal life. Can you imagine the priests on duty when Mary and Joseph brought the child to the temple for dedication? And can you imagine the incredible irony? I'm sure these priests dutifully quoted scripture over this baby as part of the dedication ritual, and yet they were totally disconnected from the words that they were chanting. Think of it. They were reciting words over the living God, over the light of the world, without a clue as to the importance of this child. And the lesson for us, I think, is to not let mere religion blind us, keep us from a life-giving relationship with God. Lord, give us eyes to see. What about the innkeeper? Man, commercialism stole his miracle. He could have played host to God's very first night on planet Earth. Instead, the best he provided for the king of the universe was a barn. After all, the good rooms are reserved for the paying customers. You know, the innkeeper's attitude is the mindset of many today. You know, here, Jesus, I'll give you a little space in the smelly back lot of my life. Now just stay there. Your disturbing presence is not wanted in all my respectable places. Interesting, isn't it? That government representatives and religious leaders and businessmen, they all missed the Christmas miracle. Friends, whatever you do, whatever happens with your life, don't miss your encounter with Jesus. But then there was Mary. She certainly did experience the Christmas miracle. "Be it unto me according to your word," was what she responded obediently when the angel announced to her what was going to happen. See, Mary didn't miss it because she had a willing heart. She was willing. And then there was Joseph. Although not the physical father of Jesus, Joseph had a caring heart. Joseph put his own life at risk when he protected Mary's reputation. He later put his life at risk to protect young Jesus from would-be assassins. So yes, Joseph experienced the Christmas miracle. And next we have the shepherds. You ever wonder what it was like to be a shepherd in Bethlehem? Night after night, they would meditate with simple faith as they gazed into the heavens. They had time, you see, to cultivate a quiet heart. And because they were listening, they were treated to the greatest concert ever. While the noise of activity drowned out the music for others, these simple shepherds had front row seats to hear a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Now, the story of the wise men, that reminds us of missions. See, they were far away from Israel. And although they were well educated, no teacher had ever told these scholars about the one true God. And as far as we know, they had no access to the scriptures. Therefore, God took it upon himself to literally bring the light to them. And as the light was revealed, they followed the light until it led to Jesus himself. See, just like many people today who've not been reached with the gospel, these men still had honorable hearts. And finally, there was Simeon. Other than Jesus, Simeon, I think, is maybe my favorite character in the Christmas story. In Luke 2, we read this. "Now there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was a righteous man and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah." Now, here's an old man with a promise from God. He was not going to die until he saw the Lord's Messiah with his own eyes. You see, when it comes to God's promises, Simeon believed him. Simeon had a trusting heart. But then the years passed, and faith had not been made sight. But then one day, one unforgettable day, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly where Simeon was when he felt God's prompting. I imagine Simeon hung around the temple as much as possible. But maybe on this day, Simeon was at his little Jerusalem home, going about his daily chores. And suddenly that familiar voice came to his heart and said, "Simeon, go to the temple and go now." Can you picture this little man with a big promise as he hurriedly pushes his way through the narrow streets of Jerusalem? I mean, perhaps the old man even sprints toward the temple as his heart pounds in his chest. He doesn't worry about a heart attack because he remembers God's promise, right? He won't die until he sees the Messiah. So Simeon runs, straining, panting, and he bursts into the temple. And there he is. Oh, to the people milling around, this looked like just any other ordinary day. Young Jewish couples with their baby boys gathered to present them to the Lord. Yes, to the other people, Mary and Joseph probably looked just like any other couple. And Jesus looked just like any other baby. But God gave Simeon eyes to see what others did not see. Others saw a baby. Simeon saw a Savior. It was Simeon's moment, his moment to experience the Christmas miracle. Can you imagine the thrill in Simeon's heart as he takes up in his arms God in the flesh, God incarnate? And overcome with worship, he cries out, "Now, Lord, I can die in peace because you have kept your promise to me. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all peoples, a light for revelation to the nation and the glory of your people, Israel." Oh, friends, this Christmas, may God give all of us the eyes to see. You see, the Wright brothers, they changed the future of the world. But their little plane only traveled a few hundred feet. Oh, sure, it was pretty big news, all right, but it was also pretty limited. Jesus, on the other hand, he flew through light years, traveling from the splendor of heaven to the squalor of a manger in order to bring God and humanity together. See, that's really, really big news. So hear me today, friends. Not only is Jesus the reason for the season, he's the reason for every season. No, wait a minute. Even more than that, he's the reason for everything. Everything. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. May God give us eyes to see that it's all about Jesus. See, my sincere hope this Christmas is that none of us will miss the big story. None of us will fail to experience the miracle of Christmas. Can I ask you to bow your head for just a moment while I ask a question? Do you want your Christmas miracle? Hey, do you want Jesus Christ, the only true Christmas gift? See, you may have never truly accepted him as Lord and Savior. Or you may have. You may have in the past accepted him, but you realize this morning that you're in danger of focusing more on people or gifts or decorations than you're focused on him. Anyway, if any of the things I just said are true for you, you realize maybe you could put your eyes on the Lord stronger than you have, or you've never done it before. Would you just simply raise your hand just to say, "Yeah, that's me. You're talking about me. I could be closer to God than I am right now, or I never have accepted him." I'm not going to embarrass you. Just your hand's going to go up and right back down. You don't have to keep it up. Thank you. If you've had your hand up, just leave it up while I pray. Lord, all of us with our hands raised, because I have my hand raised. I want to be closer to God than I've ever been. We're thankful that you sent your son as the ultimate gift. I pray, Lord, you'll give us eyes to see the Christmas miracle. I pray you'll help us not miss the truth that it's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.